Welcome back to Schnepps Connects. Today I'm joined by Michael Presser, who's the founder, president, and CEO of Inside Broadway, which is a New York City-based nonprofit theater company for youth, which is now celebrating its 43rd anniversary. What began in 1982 as a student ticket program for the Broadway musical Cats has grown into an organization that reaches more than 100,000 public school students each year across all five boroughs. Over the past four decades, Inside Broadway has introduced nearly 3 million students to live theater through professional touring productions, in-school programs like Build a Musical, summer camps, and its popular Creating the Magic series. Michael has also had a distinguished career in the performing arts, working internationally with opera houses and concert artists, while serving as a longtime leader in New York City arts and civic communities. Today, Michael will share his journey in the theater world, the impact Inside Broadway has had on generations of young New Yorkers, and why making the arts accessible remains as vital as ever. So, Michael, thank you for being here and telling us a little bit about your organization. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to visit with you. And it's always a pleasure to talk about Inside Broadway. So we can start anytime you're ready.
I love it. I mean, just tell me a little bit about, you know, your career and how you got into starting this nonprofit.
Well, you know, it was not anything that was planned, and it was actually nothing that was expected either. But in 1982, I was invited by Bernard Jacobs, who was the late president of the Schubert Organization, to put together a student ticket program about the Broadway musical Cats. Now, Cats was in the process of coming to New York from London. And Bernie Jacobs had the idea that since this was a show that would be wonderful, not only for kids, but also for introducing young people to the process of coming to the theater and seeing a Broadway show, he felt that it was a great opportunity for Schubert to sort of make a major civic contribution to the city. So he asked me to put together and assemble a program that would make it possible for a different, in those days, it was just high schools, but a different public high school to come to the Wednesday matinee performance of Cats at the Winter Garden Theater. And he wanted the Board of Education to be involved, obviously. He also wanted City Hall to be involved. And so it was my job to sort of bring all those pieces together and to operate the program. The idea was that every week Schubert would donate 50 tickets to the Wednesday matinee performance of Cats, and a different public high school throughout the city would have the opportunity to come. He definitely wanted it to be an audience development program, but also an enrichment program as well. And he wanted to make sure that the tickets would go to schools, well, to all kinds of schools, not only schools that had performing arts programmings in them, but also to schools that maybe had never had an opportunity to visit a Broadway show. So we started the first week, the Cats started in October of 1982. And remarkably, and this is truly remarkable, we were with Cats the entire length of its New York run here on Broadway, which was 18 and a half years. So that's over great. 18 and a half years, every Wednesday, there were 50 children from public schools that came to Cats, courtesy of Schubert and through this program. Cats at that time was the longest running Broadway show. And of course, it's now been passed by Les Miserables and Phantom of the Opera. And there's a couple of others that are going to pass it too that are still playing. But it was an opportunity to really reach out into the neighborhoods of the cities and to give children who had never had an opportunity to come to a Broadway show, to come and see their first show, Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats.
I love it. So how has the program evolved over the years?
Well, 18 and a half years is a long time. And over that 18 and a half year period, most of the other major musicals that came through New York participated in the program. as well. But with Pat's closing, we decided that it was time to put tickets away and to really try to use our contacts on Broadway to give schools and students a more in-depth educational experience in the theater, particularly looking at things like working in the theater, careers in the theater, also giving children an opportunity to be involved in performing in a, you know, a musical review that could be done in their own school auditoriums, you see. Giving children the opportunity to really experience theater, not just as an audience, but as a participant, maybe as a career as well. So we branched out from there, and a couple of the programs that we operate today actually began back in the CATS ticket program. But today we are now in over 100,000 children each year. We have over 120 some schools throughout the five boroughs of the city. So from the ticket program, we've grown, developed, and we've really become a large scale, not only arts and education program, but also a large scale audience development program.
Terrific. I mean, it's great for both parties, the kids and the theater. So how is it all funded? I mean, how is all this programming put together for the students?
Well, I think from the very beginning, the idea was that it was that this activity, the ticket program, was going to be a joint program with the city of New York as a partner, because Bernie was very determined that he wanted the city, and the mayor at that time was Ed Koch, who was a great theater fan. He loved the theater. He went to the theater quite frequently. As a matter of fact, I personally escorted him to his seat at the opening night of CATS. He loved the theater, and he thought it was a great idea that there were going to be kids coming and they were going to be given this opportunity. So from the very beginning, the city has been a partner in this program. And we today have funding through the Department of Education, but also through the Department of Cultural Affairs and the Office of Youth in the city government. We also have money from state legislative grants as well.
That's terrific. What are some of the marquee programs that are available this year?
Well, we have three basic programs. And as I said, some of them actually started all the way back at CATS. Our main program is called Build a Musical. It is a teaching artist program in which we send a team of Broadway professionals out into a school to work with the children on getting them involved and part of a musical presentation that they can perform in their school auditorium. Now, since we go from almost kindergarten all the way up to high school, there's a wide range of kinds of activity that children can do. The little kids, they do a kind of a 15-minute musical medley of Salute to New York type of thing. But some of the older children in high schools are able to do Oklahoma, you know. So there's a wide range of things there. The objective of creating a musical and the Build a Musical Teaching Artist Program is to get kids themselves involved in something theatrical so that they can learn how to be on a stage, how to be speaking in front of a group of people, how to work and collaborate with others in your show, how to maybe learn a little bit about music or a little bit about drama. We are not training the actors and the musicians of tomorrow. There are many, many conservatories and schools that specialize in training instruction in musical theater, for instance. But we are, as we have been since the very beginning, interested in a wide section of the youth population in the city and to give them the opportunity to be exposed to theater and participate in live theater as well. So our primary activity is the Build a Musical program, which is operating in the schools. Our second activity is a performance that is presented in the school auditorium by our professional acting company. We have an equity contract. It's called Theater for Young Audiences. and it enables us to use equity performers in musical programs that we present in the schools themselves. So they are part of our touring theater company. Every year we select a Broadway musical, most of the times actually, in an abridged version because we don't have a lot of time in a school period. Mm-hmm. Generally, we're looking for something around 45 minutes or so. That sometimes is a little hard when you have a show that's 2.5 hours.
Sure.
But a lot of shows actually do have new scripts that have been put together to be performed in small audiences or for young audiences. Anyway, every year we select a Broadway musical, and that is presented in school auditoriums over about a 2.5 month period by our professional acting company. We do use professional live musicians because Broadway is live music. And we also use professional stage managers and designers in putting the show together. Now, for instance, we have over the years presented shows such as Duke Ellington's Sophisticated Ladies, Smokey Joe's Cafe, Pirates of Penzance, Kiss Me Kate, Your Good Man Charlie Brown, which we have presented many times. That's a real favorite. And this coming season, we will be presenting a show entitled The Wonderful Wanderettes. The Marvelous Wanderettes. It's okay. A show about a group of high school teenagers, ladies, who form a music group. And it's their life story and their relationship and so forth with each other. The music is all from the 50s. So it's all those songs from that golden era of American pop music. That'll be starting in January for about 2.5 months. And it will visit every day. They will visit a different school, present a performance in that school. Now, together with the show, all the children who come to see the show will receive what we call our study buddy. And the study buddy is a computer file, and it has in it information about the show. It also has material about America in the 50s, the civil rights era, the Korean War, beginning of the Cold War, and so forth. Plus material on the show itself. There are puzzles and games in there so that the kids can have something from the show. And it's a sort of a follow-up if schools want to go a little bit deeper in it. That's our second activity. The third activity is something really special, and that started back in Cats. It's called Creating the Magic. When we started giving out the tickets to Cats, many teachers would contact us and would say, you know, it would really be great if we could take the kids backstage and show them, you know, some of the things that happen backstage during performance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a couple of problems. First of all, in order to see anything, you have to be there at 8 o'clock in the evening, because during the day, nobody is there.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the theaters on Broadway are small buildings. Most of them are now approaching 100 years. And it's not really possible to take a group of 25 or 30 backstage because there is no room backstage. Every inch is taken up with production or with things that are used in the show itself. So we were thinking, well, maybe there's a way in which we could put a show together or a program together ourselves that would give the kids the opportunity to hear from the people who work backstage about their lives and the jobs that they do. So that's the way Creating the Magic began. We've done Creating the Magic now easily 35 years. Every year we select two shows, one in the winter and one in the spring period. We then have a group of children come to a morning presentation in the theater that show is resident, usually about 80 minutes or so, and give them a live demonstration of all of the things these people do backstage. So we'll have demonstrations of stage management, lighting, costuming, props. We'll have musicians there. We'll have performers from the show there. Sound people will be there. We'll have opportunity to have demonstrations of all of those different things, because a lot of times children are not aware of the fact that there's more that's happening than the actors on the stage, because there's an army of people that are working at the theater who are making it possible for the actors to do their job.
Sure.
But you never see, you see. So here's an opportunity to bring them out into the spotlight live in front of a school audience at 11 o'clock in the morning, and let them talk about the jobs that they do, the training that they do. We are looking at union jobs. Broadway is a total union operation. There are actually 17 different unions involved in Broadway. So it gives us an opportunity to show children, people who are working in very highly paid jobs, actually, but have skills and experience that enables them to do the job. So perhaps maybe sometime the children might like to be a sound engineer.
Sure.
Or they might like to be a stagehand, or they might like to be a musician or so forth. So Creating the Magic is an opportunity to introduce the world of work in the theater to children, because theater is an industry here in New York. It's a big industry, actually, and it contributes quite a lot to our economy. But there are jobs that are involved in theater. So we would like children to know, if you're interested, here's something that you might want to consider as a career. Those are the three programs: Build a Musical, getting children involved in the theater; the touring production, where the children actually see professional actors on stage; and of course, Creating the Magic, which is a career-oriented program as well.
Have you been able to track any of these kids over the years to see their involvement in Broadway?
Well, we run across no longer children, but we run across people who have been, in fact, just this morning, as a matter of fact, I was talking with an assemblywoman from Brooklyn, and she told me that she went to see Cats when she was at John Adams High School. Yes, we do. And as a matter of fact, there have been several instances of children who have gone on to careers in the theater, both as actors, but also in technical end of theater, mm-hmm. and quite a few of them working in the office part of theater production as well. We're pretty much focused on the technical part of jobs in the theater, but there's also people in offices away from the theater building. They're working in the theater too.
I love to hear about, you know, the Broadway stars and the people working on these shows coming to schools. Do you find that the arts education is up to par? I mean, are you going to schools that have to have a certain infrastructure for it, meaning a stage and space for it? Or are you able to, you know, make ends meet by taking whatever available space you can make?
Well, our acting company is rough and ready. Okay, that's the best I can make.
Yeah, that's good.
Anyone who signs on for that knows it's not going to be the best of conditions in schools. Okay, most of the stages that are in schools are not really built as theaters. They're more auditoriums for speakers, you know, or show a movie or things like that. They're not theater spaces. Many of them don't have proper facilities. We travel with electric piano and sound system and minimal lighting as well. So we bring everything together because we don't necessarily expect that there will be any of that available in the school. And if it is available, it's usually not in great condition, or it's not working, or they can't find the key to the piano because the piano hasn't been opened in the last 9 months.
What other things do you think public schools could be offering children in order in really to be able to improve arts education in general? Is there any thoughts that you have being involved in working with public schools for so long?
I'm glad you asked the question, because it is an important element of what we do, but it's an important element of education. And this was not the case 40 years ago when I started with Cats. But it is now generally recognized in the education world that children should have some arts experience during the course of their education career. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, that means that there are arts experiences that are better for first and second grades, that are better for 10th and 11th grade. So there's an understanding that the experience has to be matched to the age and a grade appropriate level. But here is the important thing to take away. The arts enrich children's lives. This has been proven time and time and time again. It has also been shown, too, that children who are involved in arts, many of them who are maybe not interested in sports or other, you know, activities after school, but would like to be involved in something where they can be participating. Not every child wants to be an actor. You know, some of them already see themselves as Michael Jackson. But, you know, a lot of them don't necessarily want to be a performer, but they would like to run the soundboard, or they would like, you know, to be a stage manager or things like that. So it is important that we, meaning society, okay, our society, it is important that we as a society see to it that art and culture is a part of the education of every child who goes through school system or a school plan, you see. And here in New York, we're working really hard to make sure that every school has some type of arts and education activity. Now, we are still need to figure out how to get more art teachers into the schools. We still need to encourage more children who can to take a music lesson and maybe learn how to play an instrument or to be in a band or an orchestra or something like that. And then, of course, acting and dance as well. So arts and education is now emerged as a major topic for the education world. We went through a period, I don't know, maybe about 10 years or so, but easily 10 years ago, where there was interest in schools trying to use art as means to reinforce and help other subjects. For instance, trying to use maybe theater as a way to help reading and things like that. I have always maintained that theater is a discipline on its own right. It does not have to justify its existence by helping the math curriculum or the science. Those are disciplines in their own right. Theater is its own discipline. It does not have to justify its importance to any other curriculum in the school. And I think we have moved away from that idea, certainly in recent years.
Well, I'm glad to hear that that's being acknowledged now. And I guess, what do you see as the future? The organization survived a long time. You know, you have a great mission. How do you see that mission evolving over the next 10 years?
Well, I think we're only touching the tip of the iceberg in terms of the school population here in New York City. I mean, there are just over 1 million children in our school system here. And we're only touching maybe 100, 125, that, which is quite a lot to begin with, but it is only a tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. So certainly there's more there. I think also it is important for the industry of Broadway to start reaching out into the communities to involve programs like ours, schools and so forth, in the process of bringing children to Broadway. We've also, I think, need to make major strides in terms of the different ethnic and minority communities that we have in New York. Mm-hmm. Art is for everyone. Sure. And I say this quite directly. There is nothing elitist about art. People are elitists, yes. But there's nothing elitist about art. Art is for everyone. And we need to start with children at a young age so that they can, over the course of their life, participate in art and culture in whatever way they select to participate. So the goal, I think, here is always to expand. You know, Broadway today is a much more inclusive industry than it was back in 1982. And of course, that's a positive. That's a real positive. And I think we are part of what you see, the kind of shows you see on Broadway today, because in 1982, there was no Aladdin. There was no Lion King on Broadway. You see, there are many shows now that appeal to family audiences and tourists that want to bring children to the theater as well. So yeah, there's work to be done, but I think we're on a good path.
Well, Michael, it's been a pleasure to learn about your organization, and I hope people learn about it through this conversation, visit your website, and have an opportunity to make a donation or use their relationships to, you know, improve arts and education for young children. So thank you so much.
You know, I would say let's let our government know that arts and education is important. We need to keep arts and education in the schools. Every year as the budget comes around, it's another battle.
Sure.
It never ends. But they do recognize down at City Hall and up in Albany and so forth of the value that art brings into the lives of children. So we've got to continue to make sure that they remember that.
Always remember where that money's coming from and making it possible. Well, thank you again, Michael. And I hope everyone enjoyed this conversation. If you do, please subscribe. You can find the podcast on any podcast network or podcast.schnepsmedia.com.